Let me read this from the book of St. Matthew's. Listen to what Jesus has to say. In the 33rd verse of the 13th chapter of St. Matthew's, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. But it might be fulfilled which was spoken to the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath the ears to hear? Let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy there goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph, and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I'd like to comment just a little bit, just kind of staying with the theme of our thought as to what we had said just a few minutes ago about the light. God intended for me to speak to you because I had positive intentions when I come up here of having somebody to minister to you. That's why I kind of stumble around like I did. I was just going to sing a song or two with you and try to have my little ones up so they could sing. Kind of follow routine like, you know. But God doesn't like to follow routine. I was going to get somebody to minister. He doesn't like to follow routine all the time. He does allow for routine, and we should have customs and system. It was his custom to be in the house of God every Sabbath. But then there's times that he sees people like me about to get into a routine, and he doesn't want it like that. Like he wanted me to minister to you this morning, so he didn't want me to go into routine because he knew that I just routine myself right on over to that seat over there and let somebody preach. So So he didn't want that, so he just let it all get crossed up. But see, here's the thing, folks. I want to minister to you. I want to tell you about Jesus. I can, unless the Lord stop me, just minister anytime, anywhere. And I just love to minister the Word of God. There's nothing that I like better. If God would let me live 10,000 years just to preach the Word, I'd be happy to tell people about the wonderful Word of God. See, you can't, it's like a salesman. They used to tell me this. A salesman, they tutor a salesman in his product. And they make the salesman, if he is an insurance man or if he is some kind of a salesman as to some kind of a product, they keep drilling him and telling him over and over that he must believe in his product. He must believe in that product. You know, if you go to tell somebody something, you've got to believe in that thing. Now, take Tony. He's an electrician and an extra good one to me. Okay, Tony, he'll tell you about electric. He believes in that. He believes in what he's saying. He believes that if you touch that little wire with these two fingers, you're going to be all right. And if you touch it with these two fingers, you're not going to be all right. See, he believes that. He believes in what he's telling. And you've got to believe in it. So you got to believe in it. If I preach the gospel, I have to live with the gospel, and I have to believe in this. And that's what's wrong with the church world today. See, the church world is doing something they don't believe in. It was like the Philistines. See, the Philistines didn't believe in the Ark of the Covenant. They didn't believe in the Israelite way of life. And so when they messed with this thing, it went in reverse, and it killed them. And the world today is doing exactly the same thing. They are trying to mess around with the Ark of the Covenant. They're trying to mess around with the Word of God or play around with the Word of God. Or they keep on taking the Word of God and trying to make the Word of God work into their social cliques. And as I preached the other night this sermon, I want to relate this to you again. They're trying to work God into their program. And there's no possible way to work God into your program. You say, well, what is my program, Brother Pike? Your mind is your program. Whatever your mind is, that's your program. And if your mind is to go fishing, your mind is to go hunting, your mind is to go to church, then whatever it is, that's your program. And you keep trying to work the Word of God in with your program and work God in with your program to get God to be part of what you want to do with your ambitions. Preachers are bad about that. Churches are bad about that. They've got all kinds of programs. And like the songwriter said, I say this again, programs so well planned till they leave his part out. They are trying to work God into their program. That won't never work, folks. It'll never work. We've got to come to the place to where we realize that that can never work. See, we've got to be sold, completely sold on the Word of God, especially as a preacher. And if you are a laity and you come to the house of God, you've got to be completely sold out to God and sold on the idea that going to church is the right thing to do. If you are not completely sold out to that, if you don't completely believe that, you're not going to come to church regular. You're just going to come to church once in a great while. And it doesn't matter if you miss church. It doesn't matter. See, because you're not really sold on it anyway. But I'll tell you one thing. If you're working on a job and you put in 5 days a week and you're getting $100 a day out of that job and you stay off from that job a few days and you see the gap in your paycheck, I'll guarantee you won't be long before you'll make sure that you get all 5 days. You don't want to miss one of them. You know why? Because you're convinced of that thing. You're sold in that thing. Your heart is in that thing. And you know that that God of Mammon is out there and you've got to lay hold on it because he's got control of you. And that God of Mammon keeps drawing you and talking to you and pulling you and you just can't resist it. And that gap in your paycheck tires you up. See, folks, when you get to serving God and you become a real, genuine, blood-bought child of God, the Word of God will pull on you so, the house of God will pull on you so, the brethren will pull on you so, till you can't resist them, you can't stay away from them. That's right. It's that way. It's like when I met my wife, Betty. I saw a lot of girls, women everywhere, but something about Betty, she just pulled on me all the time. I'd be at home, and I'd still be with Betty. And I thought, I shouldn't be like this, you know, but that's the way I was. If I was over here on the job, I was still with Betty. Because I loved her. There was something on the inside. It was different. I saw other girls, all kind of girls. But the thing is, there was something inside of me that had become relative to Betty. And someone said, well, what was that, Brother Pike? The foreknowledge of God. It was the foreknowledge of God, like the deep calling unto the deep. It was the foreknowledge of God. God had preordained that out of all the women that I was to meet in my lifetime, this one woman was to be my wife. And when I passed over this, like the magnet that passes over the metal that has something in there that's relative to it, it'll move around. It doesn't have to be together. Just take that magnet, move that magnet over something. There might be 15 metals laying there. But the thing that's relative to that magnet that's moving over that is the only metal that will move. And it was the same way when I met my wife. It's the same way when you met your wife. Some say, well, I don't know about that. I just seem to have somebody else. That's because you got hooked up with the wrong thing. See, when you really get hooked up with God, it'll be there. Somebody said, well, I don't know, Brother Pike. When I first married, I loved my husband. You know, and he sparkled to me, and my wife, she was just exactly what I wanted and whatever, but we just don't have that connection anymore. You never did have that connection to start with. See, the magnet don't never lose its connection. As long as it's a magnet, as long as that metal's got the potential quality that it's looking for, it don't lose its connection. It'll stay right there. And if there's a loss of connection, then that means that you struck the wrong thing, and the wrong thing struck you, and you had a wave of lust that moved over, and her body was prettier and her face was pretty, and a wave of lust moved over the woman, and your form fit just exactly what she thought about, and y'all came together. And when the face began to change a little, and the hair began to change a little bit, and when the form began to change a little bit, the connection broke. Let's give the Lord a hand. I said, that's what's wrong with the world today. It's lust instead of love. And it's the same way in the church. People come to church. They serve God out of what the Bible calls, it is a thing that you will yourself to do. It is called will worship. It is your will to go there because they got the volleyball and they got the baseball and the pool halls and they have the little social cliques. And the woman over here, she dolls up for the other man. And the man, while his wife is dolling up, the wife don't know, but he's dolling up for the other woman. And then they all go down to the local church and they all come together to wallow in the mire because they're all alike. Isn't that right? You love the Lord? Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So they all go down to the social clique to wallow in the mire. See, but when you are a child of God, you go to the house of God. You don't turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. You don't sit in the seat of the scornful. You don't backbite, and you don't do those things that are arrogant and resist the minister. You love to go to the house of God. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. See, there's something that is alluring to you. There's something that's enticing to you. There's something that's pulling you. I see some of these brethren. They don't come around the brothers. They don't help with the brothers. The Bible says, you see your brother have need. Shut up your bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God in you? While they're so busy with their program of life, and they're so busy with their prestige, and they're so busy with their money, and they're so busy doing the things of the world, they can't take time to be holy. The Bible said, take time to be holy. It's for sure that as long as Egypt is here and as long as Pharaoh's in rule, he isn't going to give you any leisure. You're going to be making brick and looking for straw all the time. See, so then it means that you've never made the connection. You've never made the connection. When God moved over me, there was a potentiality within me that thing touched. And there's a drawing all the time. It never stops day and night. I can feel the force of that great, great magnetic tug and the potentialities in here that is crying out. Paul said, I have a desire to be with God, which is far better.
said, I'm going to stay here because it's needful for you. But I have a desire to be with God, which is far better, because this great power is pulling at my heart, always pulling toward the city where the Lamb is the light. So I want to be with the brethren. I feel this in the brethren, this love that's emanating from the brethren. It draws me, it allures me, it entices me. I want to be with the brother because I feel him as a member of the body of Christ. And I feel that virtue and love of God coming out from him. And it draws me and it woos me in Christ. And I want to be with that brother, the love of God. I want to be in church. I want to hear. I want to listen. I want to talk. I want to preach, whatever it is. Sometimes I sit down and a man preaches and I just enjoy it in the biggest kind of way. See, because it is something about God's house. I put my hands to the plow, not looking back into Egypt. I don't care about the things of the world. And we built this temple for God. We built these buildings for God because I put my hands to the plow. A lot of times I wasn't with my wife. Betty would get aggravated at the first because me and Brother Atlee and some of the others, and I'm sure Sister Beecher did the same thing. But me and some of the others was here all night long. And we still, the next day, run home, get a biscuit, and right back again. Be in the printing room all day long, all night long, run home, get a biscuit, go right back, be there all day long, not get any sleep, just stay there. See, out on the road sometimes, driving maybe 5 days and nights at a time, just catching a wink here and what little sleep we got. Bed and the children staying right there in the car the whole 5 days, not getting out of it. See, because there's something that's bigger than I am, there's something greater than I am, there's something with such a terrific force that it has completely swallowed me up, enveloped me, and I've seen the pearl of great price, and I can't get away from it. I sold all that I had, my ideas, my thoughts, my plans, my ambition, and everything that I had, I sold out to God just to get a hold of that pearl of great price. When I met Betty, my wife, I just forgot about all of my ambition. Everything in my mind, I had all kinds of programs and plans. But when I met her, it looked like everything that I ever wanted to do, it seemed like nothing. The only thing was to be with her. And when you find God, folks, it's going to be like that. It's going to be like that, and it isn't going to wear off. I've been with Betty for many years. Today, I still love Betty the same or more, if it's possible. I have no desire to be away from my wife or to marry some other woman because that connection is for sure. As the writer said, we've got a more sure word of prophecy. This is the sure thing. See, and when you get God, you're not going to church on Wednesday night because it is church night. You're not coming to church on Sunday morning like you are here because it's church day. You're going to go to church because your heart has just been churning and waiting for Sunday morning and waiting for Wednesday night. And you're not going to go up to the brethren to say, look at the wife and say, well, you know how they are, always saying something from the sacred desk, and somebody's always saying something. I guess I better go up there and be with them a little while. You know, that wife ought to turn around and look at you and say, you are a poor, poor specimen of a human being, let alone a Christian. Let's give the Lord a hand. If she really had what she needed, she'd do it. She'd look right in your face and say, look, I married you for a man. Let's give me the opportunity to behold you as a man while I'm living with you. And get yourself on up there, your lazy self on up there, and do something for God. Oh, honey, he says, I got the paycheck. I can buy you all the pretties. I can get you this and I can get you that. If she just take a dollar bill and spit on it, and throw it down and say, that's what I think about it. Let's go do something for God. That's a real woman right there. You know, she'd take that outlook. But somebody says, but Brother Pike, that feeds my belly. I know all of the labor's for the belly because the belly craves it of you because the old serpent is on the belly. But see, if you really love God, if you was a real man, if you was a real woman that was really a child of God, and you'd really made this connection, you'd just long to be in the house of God. You'd long to be with the brotherhood. And let me tell you, folks, this might sound a little bit alarming to you, but you men that don't fellowship these men, be it known unto you this morning that you don't have eternal life. I said, you don't have eternal life. You ladies that don't fellowship these ladies, you don't have eternal life. Oh, somebody says, but Brother Pike, I come once in a while. I'm there once in a while. I understand that if you live in another city, if you live in another town. But you that live around here, you come once in a while, you don't have eternal life. Let's face it, you don't have eternal life. The only real, genuine proof of eternal life. The Bible said we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And when you love the brethren, you're going to want to be around the brethren. You're going to want to be a part of whatever they're doing. Their vision is going to be your vision. And that vision you got about your little nest egg and fixing things up for your little family and having yours over here is going to go out the window, and you'll pick up Junior, so to speak, in your heart, and you'll say, where is that altar, Lord, that you spoke to Abraham about? And you'll take Junior and you'll lay him on the altar and say, there he is, God. My love for you first. If you'll spare Junior, that's fine. But otherwise, I've got to work for you, Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. I said, that's the way it works. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, folks. And if he was in Abraham's heart like that, he'll be in your heart like that. If it was Father Abraham and you're the son of Father Abraham, then that means it's going to be in your heart the same way. And if it isn't in your heart the same way, then you don't have eternal life. You've not passed from death unto life. It's utterly impossible for you to be here in this area knowing the urgency and need of this thing as to world evangelism and the need of the hungry and the different ones. And I don't mean to get to shouting at you, but to know all these things and stay in this little cycle and stay home with the convenience and all the things of the world, it's utterly impossible for you to do that, to be in this cycle knowing this and then stay home like that. You couldn't have eternal life. It's not possible. It's not possible. Okay, maybe I'll get beside myself a little bit, but that's the way it is. Can you imagine how much you'd be beside yourself if your little boy was burning up over here, your little girl was burning up over here in the house, and you couldn't get to them? The Bible tells me, hating the garments that spotted with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire. That's my job. That's your job. And God is trying to get to his little ones. He said, feed my lambs. He's trying to get them out of the fire. That's why the preacher sometimes, if he really gets to preach, if he gets to be evangelistic, you know, he's off somewhere. Here I just kind of coast along a little bit because you know. But you get out there where the heathens is, and they're like down in Belize. I got a little bit strong down there with some of them because I know that they're playing around on God. See, that's why the preacher raises his voice. That's why he shouts at you and sometimes gets a screaming at you. I have got to screaming and going and walking just completely beside myself as though I didn't know where I was at. And perspiration is pouring, my clothes soaked, slapped through my socks. I've had my socks soaked with water, even my shoes soaked with water. Just beside myself because of the urgency of this thing and the need, the necessitated demand, that is the need as to people doing something for God. You know, folks, we're not just out here building buildings. We didn't just build this building. You know, I didn't build it for naught. I didn't build it out of ambition. Where would you go to church this morning? Somebody, well, I go to another church. That's fine. I have no objections. But what if you was called to go to this church and there wasn't no church to go to? What would you do? Sit on the ground? That's all you could do. That's the way they do it overseas. It's like a brother that came to me yesterday, and I don't mean this wrong. I hope you don't take it wrong. I got several brethren. And this is so with the Brother Branham Church. They did the same thing there. They do it everywhere. I got several brethren. Won't go on about their business. Won't go into another place. They got to settle down, get right under this, and try to start a work or try to start some kind of problem or cause trouble or be double-minded or seduce or entice or to poison the minds of some of my believers. I've got them on the campground. They live here. They don't have no interest in God. They don't have no hunger. The Bible said they are false brothers and false sisters, and their lust and gullible desire is after Satan and after the things of the world. But anyway, I had a brother to come yesterday. I love the brother. I'd love to help him. Somebody says, well, why do you call him a brother? Well, I trust that he's a good brother. But nevertheless, there's good brothers, there's false brothers. So Paul said, I was in peril of false brethren. Of course, there's false sisters. But anyway, this man came, and there'd been a little difference. There'd been a little dispute. And he came to me, and he wanted to straighten it out, which I appreciate. I really do. I appreciate the person. I prayed many a prayer for them. Honest, sincere prayers when they were in their bed asleep, no doubt. But this brother came to me, and he wanted to straighten some things out. I said, sure, brother. And as he began to talk, he continued to talk. He was straightening things out. And I said, sure. Though I knew he wasn't telling me the truth. I knew he wasn't. The Spirit bore witness that he was not telling the truth. But the Lord did let me know he was repentive over it, over what he had done, and just couldn't come face to face with the issue and was trying to explain it away, like most people do. I said, that's the way that most people do. But anyway, he kept talking, and while he was talking, all of a sudden, someone else that had been involved in this thing, whereas he had done wrong, or it had been said that he had done wrong, he said, this brother came and told you such and such. And about the time he was talking and explaining it away, this certain brother came up. So he said, he called to the brother. So the brother came over. They had a little conversation. I didn't call them together. I was just going to let it go for the sake of sparing. Paul said, to spare you, I didn't come at a certain time, because we have the power to destroy you, or we have the power to spare you. We can turn you over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, and we can destroy you completely and do you like Ananias and Sapphira, or like the man that was smote blind. We have the power to curse you or bless you. So this brother called the other brother, and I'd been merciful. I didn't say anything to him. I didn't try to do nothing. I just let it go. But he called the other brother, and when he called the other brother, he faced the other brother. And the other brother, at first, the brother said no as to a thing that was said. And the brother later told me that he just caught him off guard. But I said, now wait a minute. I said, this is what I was told. I hadn't said anything about what I was told or whatever. I just let it go. The other man had just been doing all the talking and thinking of what he had done and trying to bring it up and apologize to me, feeling that someone else had come to me and told me these things. So I just let them go. But when the two brethren got together, I said, now wait a minute. I said, this is what was said. And the brother snapped to attention just like that. And he said, that's exactly what was said. And I use the term babbling. He said, the word babbling, I didn't say the word babbling. But in the conversation, it definitely was brought out as concerning babbling. No question about it. The brother faced the brother and said, this is what you said. The brother said, no, you misunderstood. You misinterpreted. He said, no, I didn't misinterpret. I didn't misunderstand. Or in his words, he explained to him. He said, you said exactly what I told Brother Pike. Which was real good for the man, because I checked the spirit of it when the brother came to me and told me, and the brother told me the truth, and the other brother was lying about it. This brother that faced him, I'm glad he had enough backbone to stand there and face him, because it's a good thing for the brother. It will help the brother. If he is a good brother, it'll bring out the right colors in him and help him to get away from his foolishness, because that's what it is foolishness. But anyway, I said that to say this. They sit down right here under us. These things, they'll call this all kind of names over here. They'll say all kind of things against us over here. And then go off to another church. And the brother finally got around to telling me that he is going to another church that's not too far away from here. One of the brothers over here went clear to Conyers at a magnet back there to go to another church. And yet sat down right under us to cause us trouble. The other one did the same thing, going to another church that's here in town, sat down right under us to cause us trouble and to get my people to come in and out to counsel with them and talk with them to put this thing down. So when the two brothers got together, whereas I hadn't said anything about it, letting it go for months and months, prayed for the other brother, I told him exactly like it was. I said, "Don't now, if you're going to call the brother over here, then I'm going to tell you exactly like it is." And I told him, I said, "And this is what was said that you said." And folks, he said it. It doesn't matter how much he says he didn't say it, the Spirit bore witness that he said it. See, and I said that to say this. Why come here? Why get on the campground? Why be here with the brethren? Get here with the sisters and sit on the campground and do these gullible things and have this ungodly outlook and an incentive toward the world and still cause us problems. Why do that? How foolish, how ignorant that is of a person. Why not go on out in the world and enjoy sin for a season? At least God may spare you a little while. But the way you go, and you'll get yourself killed. God will kill people for that. I mean, he's killing people every day for that. All over the world, he's killing hundreds and thousands of people. And right here at Bethlehem, we've had numbers of people that's been killed for that. I'm talking about young folks, folks that are older, killed right here at Bethlehem. I spoke to somebody, it ain't been but a couple of days ago. I won't say who, but I related this to my wife. I come up in their presence, and they've been doing real good. But the individual took the wrong outlook. I hadn't done nothing to them. I just walked up and I felt that old resentful attitude. That old resentful thing. You know, and I sat there and it was so grievous to me. And another individual had done me the same way. Identically the same way. And I thought, now this ought not to be. I didn't reprove the individual as far as rebuking them. I just said some things indirectly that they might get a hold of themselves and see the danger. Because, see, judgment is falling like that now. It's falling fast because all of us know so much. So, I thought, that's going to bring problems. The individual went straight out. The other individual went out. And just like that, God got them both. Now, let me tell you something. I may never say anything to you. I may let you go like I would have let that boy go and not said anything to him. But God will get you. God will get you. There's a man that's living on the campground right now. He isn't going to work with me. He isn't going to be in fellowship with the brethren. He's going to be contrary. And God is going to get him just as sure as that light or those lights are shining. He's going to get him. And he's going to get him good. And there's some others here that are not doing right. You don't really want to serve the Lord. You don't have that desire to really come to church. It's just a routine with you. You live so much in the natural and eat and drink and go to do the things of the world so much that your whole heart, your ambition, your thrill, your excitement, and your interest is in something natural. You have no real incentive toward God, and you have no real interest in God. You don't have it. It's just not there. And you come to church out of routine because you don't want to go to hell, so you come to church. I mean, you just come to church out of routine. Not because you love God, not because you're hungering and thirsting after the Word of God. You'd love to get all the knowledge you could. If Brother Pike's going to get into something, some kind of knowledge, the devil would love to get every bit of it. That old intellectual mind would love to absorb every bit of it, you know, to get it. But so far as your heart being in God and you being born to the Spirit and you being interested in the project of little Bethlehem of going around the world and preaching the gospel and doing something. It's like some of these people that go out on these trips with me, they could care less about what I'm doing. They go out there because they've never been to that country. They've never been to that place. They want to see that. They want to be in the excitement. And of course, when they get there, they begin to think, you know, I better give out a few tracts. I better give out, I'll do a little something, or they won't want me to come next time. And some of them hardly do any even that. They just eat and drink. That's all they do. Right. Sit around and talk. See, and some of them finally get under conviction and realize the need, the great crushing need of the world as to the gospel. And then they begin to give out a few tracts and they get down to business and begin to do a little something for God, which is good. It lights them up a little bit when they come back on the home front. They're a little brighter in their way of life. So to let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And I can tell naturally it's cooling off here. And I got some people that cool off with it. According to the weather, that's where they go. They're given to the natural. But if you'll hold on just a little bit, my people that are warm in the spirit, I'd love to talk to them just a little bit more and then we'll let you go. Not that cold anyway. As I say, the heat opens up the pores of the skin. You just, any little chill, you feel it. So then some of you are not serving God. Some of you don't love God. Some of you don't care for God. Some of you don't want to sacrifice for God. You don't want to make any sacrifice. Whether it's a natural sacrifice or a physical sacrifice or a spiritual sacrifice. I've got people here that's hardly ever, since they have been here, made a sacrifice. They don't hardly know what it is to stay all night long, one night with the brethren or with the sisters, trying to get a job done. They don't know anything about that. To let a little bit of physical pressure come upon them to exert a little physical effort toward the things of God. They don't know what it is to sacrifice as to take away from the tangible side of life, as to sacrifice when it comes to a car or a home or whatever. They make money. I mean big money. Some of them make big money. Like somebody was telling me the other day, they come. I know you don't believe this, folks. I know some of you don't believe this, and it's okay. But a lot of these things I know for sure. Like somebody come the other day and was telling me about one of the brothers. And he said to me, he said, well, this particular person, of course, you would have thought didn't have no money. No money. Are you listening? Well, he ain't got no money. But he was standing there, and he said, I'll tell you. And he spoke about the other fellow. Said, well, the other day, as far as I know, he pulled out $30,000, and this fellow was going to illustrate, so he pulled out his billfold, whether other words or whatever, and he started counting $100 bills. So he just counted them out in $100 bills. And this fellow was counting out $100 bills that he had in there. Numbers of them. You understand what I'm saying? How do you understand what I'm saying? You have made big money, but you know what you did? You held back on God and you put it in the bank for a rainy day, and bless your heart, God gave you a rainy day. Let's give the Lord a hand. I said he gave you a rainy day, didn't he? Now you don't have anything, do you? See, it's just like a man that left you a number of years ago. He was the man that did this with regularity. I said, Sister Betty, someday he'll get a rainy day. He laid up for hospital bills. And folks, since he's left here, he has had a continuation of hospital bills and suffering. All right. I'm just telling you these things. Like Peter said, you know these things. But while I'm tabernacling here, I just want to tell you these things. See, you don't have the right outlook. You won't share. You've got your mind toward your own conniving doings. Somebody would say, well, bless the Lord, Brother Pike. Bless my brethren. I'm with them. I want to work with them. You'll never see me laying up that money in the bank. No, because you're going to lay it up in trucks and houses and land and anything else you can get. You're going to have so much of whatever you buy in your routine of paying on things, whether it's to support your household or to pay your bills or anything else, and you're going to catch every line you can that's going this way or that way just to ride it and parasite until you ride the brethren to death and everybody else. That's the way it is, folks. In the world, they have a little saying, tell it like it is. That's the way it is. But thank God for my brethren, for my lady folks, that are real ladies indeed that love the Lord, and real gentlemen indeed, you know, that really love the Lord, and these that are interested in God, that's doing something for God, and they're not sporadic, you know, like a seesaw up and down and a swing that's in and out. Every day, they might not do what others do, but every day I can count on them to try to help me. And every chance that they get to have something to share, they'll lay it to the line and they'll share it. Like the little widow, they'll share. Some of you people, you'll never do that. You'll never do that. You're man-made. You know, they got products that are man-made. You are man-made. And in that you are man-made, you'll always be that way. You've got your programs. You've got your way of life. You have these things. You're going to go by those things. And that's the way you'll always be. That's the way you'll always be. They used to ask me someplace I'd go, they said, what's your budget, preacher? I said, what are you talking about?
I said, everybody's got a budget.
You know, you'd be preaching for somebody, and they'll say, what's your budget? I said, well, I don't know. I felt right embarrassed. You know, to be a big preacher, you should have a budget. I thought, well, I'm real embarrassed. I don't know what my budget is. And they said, well, if we don't know your budget, how are we going to pull the offerings and take up for you while you're preaching for us here? Like one fella, I was supposed to preach for him, and he said, preacher, he said, what is your act? I said, my act? And I was embarrassed again because I really didn't know. I didn't know you had an act, you know, when you're a preacher. I guess everything's an act, you know. But anyway, he said, you know, your act. I said, what are you talking about? And I can't remember the exact things he said, but one of them was Batman, I believe it was. He said, you know, like your Batman suit. And he went through these things, Superman suits and whatever. He said, what do you do? I thought, well, I don't do nothing. I said, I just preach. And to him, he was disappointed, you know. I didn't have nothing. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you people are nothing but actors. You know, the word hypocrite, that is a derivative from actors, as it would use the word. See, actor, you're a hypocrite. You act like a saint. You act like you're happy. You act like God's blessing you. You act like you're interested in these things. You act like you want to be a part of God's program. But in all reality, your hunger, your thirst, your gullible desires toward the things of the world. And if the love of the world's in you, then the love of the Father's not there. You're man-made. All right, I'm going to close right along here. You're man-made, folks. I appreciate your attention. But many of you that hear my voice or that's looking at me, you're man-made. And because of that, you go through your little budget, your little routine. And it doesn't matter what you do. You're going to go through that little budget. And no matter what God says of you, you're not going to shove that little budget aside or your little overhead expense that you carry around in your billfold, as you call it, your little overhead expense, or just a little bit on the side in case the winter winds get to blowing and you have to miss a day. See, you're going by your routine. You're man-made. That's man-made doings. And you're man-made. And you're going to be like that. It doesn't matter what I preach. I have some of you here that I know for sure that I preached to you for X amount of years. And you're sitting right in front of me. And I've watched you with your man-made way of life. And you never vary from it. I don't care what's said in men's meeting. I see you get up, you'll read your reports, or you'll say something, or you'll say something to the brethren, and you'll go down the line, this has got to be done, and we've got to evangelize the world, and all these great things. And I sit there and I think, you hypocrite, these brethren here are giving down everything they got right down to the bone, as we say, and you stand there and you're boisterous and blow like a north wind. And you don't hardly do nothing except follow your little old budget and your little old system. Let's give the Lord another hand. All right, folks. Well, I ain't coming back to church. You hurt my feelings. How did these things hurt your feelings? Remember, you're the Christian. You're not guilty of these things. Let's everybody stand together. We're talking to them folks that don't do right. We've got to find out whose side we're on here. All right, God is a good God. There's none good but God. You need to do something for God, folks. You need to do something for God. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I believe it, I lost some of my audience already. Let's sing the song, I Love Him.
I love Him. All because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Can you sing it with me again?
I love Him. I love Him. All because loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone over death, triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forever. For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone over death, triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore.
Sing it again.
Oh, he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone over death, triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. I've found a place in God's heavenlies, a place of peace. It's a place of rest. We found that new place in God's heavenlies, in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Let's sing this. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me, changing me, changing me, changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, it's that glory that is changing me. Oh, let Thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let Thy create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. For it's in Thy shining glory that we see Thine Holy One. Our hope is to be like Him. Oh, let Thy will. Do you really want that to be in your life? Do you really want to be like Jesus? Would you like for your life to be wholesome? Would you like to wake up in the morning with nothing but to be like Jesus? Folks, you know what? Have you ever thought if there was a man living on the hill over here on a beautiful grassy hill or mountainside, cattle and sheep and streams and lakes and beautiful cars and chariots and everything that heart could wish for. And he was young and healthy and strong and fine and had billions of dollars. And he was going to live over there. Wouldn't you like to be like him if you was out in the world? Wouldn't you like to be him? You know, out in Texas they said, you betcha you would. You sure would. You'd like to be like him. See, and who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to be like him? If I was out in the world and I didn't have nothing else to do, oh my, me and Betty, we could think of a lot of things to do if we was like that. See, and here I am, I'm telling you about Jesus, the rich young ruler. Eternally young and strong and healthy forever and forever and forever. Sitting on the throne, gold and silver and diamonds in the streets, paved with transparent gold, like that of like looking in a looking glass, a mirror. Gates out of beautiful pearl. Pearl so big that to a city like that he can make gates. Great, huge gates. Out of those, every several gate out of one pearl. Fantastic. And I'm telling you about him, that you can be like him. But you can be like him. He has a program and he has a plan to where if he captures your love and desire and admiration, he'll just draw you right into that.
And through that wonderful love and enticement, you'll become one with this great, wonderful Prince of all kings. He is the Prince of the kings of the earth, the Bible says. I'd like to be like Jesus. We sang that song, to be like Jesus on earth. I long to be like Him. I wake up in the morning, I think, oh my God. Oh my God, how could anything else ever catch my interest? You know, I love my wife. I love my wife very dearly. I love my children. But when I think about Jesus, it's as though my wife and children was nothing. And I think, oh my God. If I could be like Jesus, if I could be like Jesus. And did you know the only problem I have in life, maybe you wouldn't believe this, but this is the truth. The only problem I have in life and major heartache in life, you know, I don't have any problems. The Lord gives me everything I want. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I never want for anything. He gives me everything I desire. But I have one major problem in life. It troubles me. And yet I know somehow He'll work it out for me, because He won't let me want. And that is, it troubles me because I'm not like Jesus. The way I feel that I should be like Jesus, and the way I desire to be like Jesus, it's a weight on me all the time, day and night, around the clock. It never lives. And I, on the inside, I just pine away and I cry on the inside, because I long to be like Jesus. If I could do it, you know, if I had a way that's kind of like turning a key, I'd turn a little key and my mind would never again, never, never, no, never receive one thought that was in a derogative sort of a way, or that was in the wrong way, an evil thought. Not one thought, not one impulse, not one intent of my heart would I ever allow to come anymore. And if I could just turn that little key, I would fix it to where never again in my entire life would I fail. I would do everything perfectly to the T and to the intent of my heart like Jesus. I'd lock everything else out. And that's the truth, so help me, God. And as far as I know, that's the truth, and I hope God will kill me while I'm talking if that isn't the truth, because that's from the bottom of my soul. That is my longing and my desire. How can you look toward the beggarly elements of the world? How can you desire the trashy things of the world? Paul said all of these things, at their very best, with education and money and all of the prestige and all the things of the world, is nothing but beggarly elements. When you compare them with those things, you just never have seen it. See, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man at any time the thing that God hath prepared for them that love Him, but He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. See, how can you wake up in the morning with your thoughts in any direction, your eyes in any direction, your desire in any direction, other than to be like that man that's on that grassy hillside, I said, with everything. Everything. To live eternally. Okay, let's sing that song, to be like Jesus, come on. I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes. I think you've been real good. I didn't intend to hold you this much longer when it started cooling off. But the pores of his skin is closed up, and see, it wasn't as bad as you thought. Just to be like Jesus. Just to be like Jesus, on earth I long, just to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Him. Can you sing it with me? From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger. On this earth I long to be like Him. By grace
forgiven, and heir of heaven. On earth I long just to be like Him.
Can you sing it again?
Just to be like Jesus. Just to be like Jesus. On this earth I long just to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like,
sing it one more time,
just to be like Jesus, not interested in the things of the world, not trying to pile up money, things out of life, looking for prestige and education. He tried to make of himself no reputation. He did not desire reputation in this world. All through life's journey, he said, I do always the things that please the Father. Always. He had no other interest, no other ambition. Isn't that wonderful? And the Bible said we ought to follow in His steps, who did no sin, and neither was guile found in His mouth. Can you sing it with me one more time? Just to be like Jesus, not me living, but Paul said, it is Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. It's not me anymore. That man, that woman's gone. We're buried. And now we're bone of His bone and we're flesh of His flesh. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Him.
Let's slip our hands up now and close our eyes. I'm going to ask Vince to come up and pray, if he will. Appreciate Vince working with us out yonder the way he did yesterday until we finished the job. Appreciate so much you fellas that worked out there with us, and I appreciate so much my lady folks. Paul said, my women workers, my children in God that work with us, I appreciate it so much. And then he said, some seed fell among the tares. He said, which was the riches of this world, the cares of this life. And they choked the seed, and it didn't bring forth the harvest. And many of you are caught with the cares of life and the desire for the materialistic values of life, and it's choked you, and you're not bringing forth any fruits unto God or doing anything for God. Like Brother Mike Bradley was telling me a few days ago, he said, Brother Pike, he didn't call it a rat race. Brother Branham, I believe, called it a rat race. But Brother Mike was telling me, he said, Brother Pike, I just got to thinking, talking to somebody else, and we got to talking about this thing. We get up, we go to work, we make money, you know, we go back home, and up the next day. He said, it's just a routine, Brother Pike. All the time we're dying, going on to the grave, all the time, you know, and just wasting our life. Out in the world, they take dope. They get to where they're on it with a regularity. And when they do, they call it wasting away. I'm just wasting away. See, but folks, dope ain't near as bad as the cares of life. When you get entangled in the cares of life, every day you're caught 24 hours around the clock. And all you're doing is wasting away. I say, well, I don't see that, Brother Pike. I tell you what, let 5 years pass and look in the mirror. Let another 5 years pass and look in the mirror. Let another 10 years pass and look in the mirror. Let 20 years go by and look in the mirror, and you'll find out that you wasted away. Let 55 years, let 65 years, if you live that long, go past and look in the mirror, and you'll find out that you're wasting away. You're wasting away, folks. Wasted years. Oh, how foolish. Oh, how foolish. Okay, as our brother comes to pray for you, may the Lord bless you. When you don't have anything else to do, as Joseph said, consider me and pray for me. I need prayer. Pray, Paul said, that God will open doors of evangelism to me around the world. May God bless you. May God bless our sisters that come so far from Crawford. Appreciate so much those people coming. I tell you something, folks, in closing. If you don't get your mind in this, if you don't let this get a hold of you, your mind's going to drift back. Some of your minds have already drifted back to Egypt, to the garlic and the onions, as to the world, and back to your old homeland where you grew up, and you're going to drift back into that, and you're going to go right back into that. You're going to drift right back into it. Watch and see. You're going to drift back into it. When Abraham left, he left. Get thee out of the land of thy kindred, whether it be the natural man as man to man and being part of the world or the flesh, or whether it be for your relatives or what. Get ye out of the land of the kindred, you husbands away from your wife and children, and you wives away from your husband. Get ye out of the land of the flesh and the land of your kindred, that is in your mind, and get your mind on God. That don't mean that you're to forsake your husband or your wife or your children or your responsibilities, but you are a fool to be entangled with your wife's desire and her affairs and give your soul to the devil and wind up in hell because of just feeding her or feeding your family or doing those things. When God promised to take care of you and give you your heart's desire and everything that you wish for, that these things would be added. And a real Christian will make a living for the family. A real man for his wife. The man that don't provide for his family. The Bible said he's denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. Folks, when you take this thing about being evangelistic, like I got a number of them on the campground, they do this. When you take this outlook about being evangelistic, you know, and God's going to take care of my wife and I ain't worried about it. There's something wrong with you. I mean, you just done got something misconstrued in your understanding. You know, what if your wife just took off in the morning and she took off and she said, well, I'm not going to worry about his breakfast, his dinner, or his supper, or the house being cleaned up, or the clothes being washed, or anything else. I feel like God will take care of the man. God will take care of him, all right. He'll wash his own dirty socks and he'll cook his own meals. And that's the same way that it is. God takes care of the woman, all right. She has to get out and make a living. Provide and do the very best you can. Forgive me, folks, when I say these things. I don't mean nothing wrong. But like a man come to me the other day, said, pray. Said, you prayed and God's answered your prayer. I know he answered your prayer. So I prayed. Sure enough, he asked me something. God answered my prayer. He come back, said, pray again. It was something else. He said, God answered the prayer, which he did. Then he come back, said, pray that God will get my wife off that job. She don't need that job. I said, I'll just have to stop right here and say something. I said, according to what she told my wife and what I understood, that she has to have that job to make a living. I said, now, that's a matter of you taking care of her having a living. I said, I ain't going to pray. I let him know I wasn't going to pray that way. And I don't feel like a woman ought to be on a job. I'll be honest with you. You know that. I preach that to you. I don't feel like she ought to be on a job. But if she's got to make a living, she don't have a husband, she's got to do something. She's got to do something. She's a foolish woman if she don't do something. Or she's a lazy woman. Now, a real woman, she's going to do something. But a man at the house that makes a living, if he's a real man, he don't want her on a job and he'll make her a living. And if he does let her work on the job, you may want to run me through for this, but if he does let her work on a job and he don't take care of her, he's not a real man. And besides that, he's not her husband. He's just somebody around the house. All right, folks, don't get upset at me. If this is wrong, then you need to do... I'm speaking up and telling you. And if it's wrong, if what I'm saying is wrong, you need to be man enough to speak up and tell me. If I tell you for your sake, then if it's wrong, you have a backbone and you say, well, wait a minute, Brother Pike, he's off base. I'll tell him. I'll straighten him out. And folks, if you don't have a testimony to that, you need to swallow this thing down and get right, because you're not going to heaven if you don't. All right. May the Lord bless you. I love you. I wouldn't tell you the truth if I didn't love you. I would work this thing a little bit better so that you'd think a little more of me, and I could get in your pocketbook a little more, and I'd be a little richer. But since that's not my desire, not my right, I tell you the truth. And it's one of the writers said, I tell you the truth. You hate me because I tell you the truth. All right, Brother Vince.